listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. It's your pet. Health matters. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Welcome to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Diane Levitan, and I'm honored to be your guest host today while Dr. Bernadine Cruz follows the sled races in sunny Alaska. Personally, I'd rather be diving. Thank you for joining us. We're going to learn about an issue that's very important to me today. It's all about animal welfare, and today we're going to discuss feral cats, rescuing animals, and trap, neuter, and return programs, or TNR as it's called. Today we have two very special guests. Ms. Dawn Riley is our first guest today. Ms. Riley has a real job, but in her spare time, she puts forth all of her energy and effort towards saving animals, and she saves a lot of people from a lot of pain and suffering as a result, and also helps the animals from pain and suffering. She's really deeply in touch with the pet overpopulation problem, and she's explored many varied approaches to solving it. She's president of both the Long Island Animal Alliance and the Long Island Cat Project and Pitter Patter Paws Corporation. All of them are 501c3 or nonprofit organizations. She's really incredible. She's been an active leader in the field of TNR, trap, neuter, return, and in animal rescue throughout Long Island for over 12 years. For those of you who don't know, Long Island, New York. She's an experienced feline handler, meaning a great cat handler, both feral and domestic cats, and she's been called to assist in several national disasters. She's also made me very fortunate by teaming up with me in the efforts locally, and I'm so happy she's joining us. Our second guest today is Mr. Robert Masseri. He's the founder of Rescue Inc. You may have heard of this tattooed motley crew of motorcyclists and businessmen by day and animal rescuers by night, but learn how they're impacting the community and the nation with plans to change the world. Stay tuned for this exciting program right after these messages.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hey, ready to take a walk? Not just you, but the whole family. It's the 2009 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 7th from 11 to 3 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2009, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Dock. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Diane Levitan, and with us now is Ms. Dawn Riley, animal advocate and my hero. Thanks for joining us today, Dawn.
Thanks for having me, Diane.
I'm really, really happy that you're here with us. I have a lot of questions, and I'm sure our listeners do too, because I don't think everybody really understands what trap, neuter, release is, or TNR. What is it?
Trap, neuter, return. TNR is when you would basically go out and you have cats in your yard that most people are feeding. They end up calling the humane societies and saying they're reproducing, trap, neuter, and return is basically getting a humane trap and trapping the cat and bringing them to a facility, a veterinary facility, to get them spayed and neutered.
Okay, well, that sounds simple enough. But obviously, these cats can be a really huge nuisance. Is that the situation like I've seen on golf courses and in neighborhoods on golf courses where there tend to be just a ton of cats and the people who live in the households are really, I had a friend actually, they had fleas all through their house because of living on a golf course, and they had a bunch of cats, and their next door neighbor would feed the cats, and then they actually hate animals, believe it or not. My good friend hates animals, go figure. But especially because they had to have their house treated for fleas. How does that happen?
That's a great question, Diane. Basically, in situations like that, there is not a maintained colony. The person that's feeding is unfamiliar with what TNR is, trap, neuter, and return. With trap, neutering, and returning a cat to its location, it cuts down on the population, you know, tremendously from the growth of the population of the feral cats. With the situation with the fleas and stuff getting into the home, it's not really so much just the feral cats. It's population, period, in the area. Raccoons and squirrels and stuff can also have fleas. With this situation, what I would recommend is the person that is feeding the cats be educated on trap, neuter, and return. We would go to the person's house and we would show them how to use a trap. We would help them in trapping the cats. We would recoup the cats in a garage for a couple of days. When we do this, they will go to a vet where they will be treated for fleas, spayed and neutered. Their ears will be tipped, and if they have ear mites, they would be taken care of also. By doing all of this, it cuts down the stress on the animal and makes their immune system stronger and they're more healthier, in which case, you know, allows them to fight off diseases and stuff. After the cat, all that has been done to the cat is returned, not removed, it is returned to the situation. People ask, why would you return the cat if there's a problem there? If you remove a cat from the situation, it's just going to cause a vacuum effect and more cats will move into that situation. If you return the cat that has been spayed and neutered to the location, it forms a colony, most of the time keeping other stray cats out of the area. It gets the colony under control when you do TNR because you will be removing friendly cats, kittens, and offspring if they are friendly. So that cuts down the number of cats in that location on the golf course almost immediately when TNR has taken effect. So basically, you know, the situation with the fleas, now you're trapping the cats, you're spaying, neutering them, and you're treating them for fleas, and you're cutting down the number of cats. So by, you know, taking the socialized kittens out of there. And that does help with the situation. We have found people to be very happy with the results of TNR.
So when you take away the friendly kittens, I'm assuming you get them adopted. So you're evaluating each cat as it comes through. So
if there is a cat sick or there's nothing that we can do for the cat to help if the cat is humanely euthanized. But that's not on a regular basis. Does that happen?
You mentioned something called ear tipping. What is that?
That is a universal sign that the cat has been spayed and neutered and has received a rabies vaccine. And if you see an ear-tipped cat, you know that the cat has been medically treated and spayed and neutered, which is, you know, it's a universal sign. It's the left ear on a cat. So it makes it very easy when you go into a situation of people that are complaining, you can tell if the colony is being managed or if it's not being managed. For instance, on this golf course with the people, I would recommend them to take a look at the cat's left ear as it's running past and see if it's tipped. If it's not, and there's a lot of cats and they have no ear tips, they need to bring it to somebody's attention that can help them with the situation to get that under control.
So what does a tip look like for our listeners?
It's a straight across line. It looks like the little tip of the ear has been cut off. It's very slight, but it's straight across on the left ear.
So it's a very straight line, so it can't be mistaken for a cat that had been fighting or something like that?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. And then, so that's really good because that way you could tell, you don't have to, like, trap these animals and then spend all that energy and time and money trapping, I imagine, so that you don't repeat the process on a cat that's already been done.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so who pays for this, though? I mean, obviously, this is a huge thing. You're talking about trapping animals, and then obviously there's expertise involved in that. And then obviously they need to be transported to a veterinary facility, and then they have to be recovered somewhere, and then they go right back to where they came from. I find that to be a very difficult thing to coordinate and maybe to even conceive. How does it work?
It is sometimes difficult to coordinate, but when there's compassionate people involved, everybody makes their full effort. When somebody calls me in their community and they're having a problem and there's feral cats on their block, the first thing they say is that they're smelling up their yard. And yeah. The first thing I will respond back to them and say is, well, that is your property, and it's very important to maintain your property. And think of it as an investment of putting flowers into the ground to keep your property beautified, that this investment is to keep your property of unspring males on your property. It usually costs about $57, depending what region you're in, on low cost to get a cat spayed or neutered. So what a lot of people will do is they'll form a community, some of them have community watch programs, some of them form community feral cat programs within their community, and they raise funds either by going door to door or they'll have yard sales, and they get the money up to do the project of spaying and neutering all the cats in their neighborhood so they can keep their property values up and the feral cat population doesn't continue to grow. They will call a local rescue group to educate themselves on how to do the TNR process and borrow traps, or they'll buy humane traps at Home Depot that are called Habitat traps for approximately $50.
That's amazing. So if there's a listener who is experiencing this, where would they go for resources to find out who could help them in their community?
There's many different sites. It depends where you are, but I would start out with going to Alley Cat Allies.
On the web?
On the web. And Alley Cat Allies has a list of local organizations. If you are in the New York area, you can go to the animalallianceli.org. And we're a New York-based facility, so it's...
What about for people who are around the country who really didn't even know that something like this existed? I mean, is TNR something that exists around the whole entire country?
It exists around the whole entire world. It's just not in the United States. It was actually founded in Europe, and they've been doing it for a very, very long time.
Wow.
So, yes, TNR is something that is widely used to combat this problem.
That's amazing. So you just would go online, maybe Google TNR or Trap Neuter Return and find a local organization in your area. Are there some organizations that will pay for it so the residents themselves don't have to pay for it?
Some local organizations may get some grant money, so you can look for subsidized spaying and neutering in your area, but it all depends on if somebody has gotten a grant or not. And sometimes I know organizations will run free spay and neuter in their townships if they've gotten grants like that.
People could also call their local town shelters or their municipalities to find out if there is an organization that will help them with this nuisance problem of feral or stray cats.
It would not be the town shelters that you would be calling on this. They usually have nothing to do with the TNR process. It would be your local no-kill shelters, humane groups, rescue groups. If you go online to Pet Finders in your township, it's the easiest way I could think of people finding out. If you go on petfinders.com, like you were looking for an animal, and you would put in your zip code, it would bring you up to a whole bunch of organizations that are in your area, right by your zip code. And then you can go from there, start to call those organizations, and they will put you in contact with your local TNR advocate or somebody that can help you with the situation that you're dealing with.
So when they help you, do people actually come out themselves and trap the animals, or would a citizen just be asked to trap an animal themselves? I would think that would be dangerous, or I wouldn't know the first thing to do to trap an animal.
There's actually so many websites that have videos on it, on step-by-step how to trap a cat. We, unfortunately, do not have enough manpower in all of the United States to help every single person physically sending somebody out there. If it is an elderly person or a handicapped person, we definitely put them on the top of the list to try to send somebody out to help them. If not, what we do is try to educate them over the phone, or we have been starting to do trapping courses around the United States. They have been becoming very big. When people reach out to the organization, if there's a trapping course, they can go there and they're taught firsthand how to trap a cat.
In our local community recently, I noticed they had a whole seminar, actually how to trap animals and then how to handle them safely. I would think that, you know, these feral animals, they're not friendly for the most part, right? Aren't they afraid of people? I mean, people could really get hurt. So I guess learning how to safely handle these animals is so important.
Well, once you trap the cat, you really don't have to ever handle the animal. The animal is in a trap, and to clean the trap, there are what's called dividers, which stop the animal from, you know, getting to your hands or anything. You never want to actually handle a feral cat because they are very scared and frightened. You would be taught how to clean the cages while they're in there recuperating. You never handle a feral cat, absolutely not. It's too dangerous. They are too frightened, and they might hurt you. So handling of the feral cat really isn't a concern because you never handle the feral cat, ever.
So a really important thing to do is to go to a website that has a great video and really good safe instructions teaching you how to do this if you're planning on doing this yourself, or try to find an organization that will come to your neighborhood and do that for you. Is that right?
That's correct. But like I said, it's very hard to get an organization to come into your neighborhood. People have to take initiative to do this. It's their neighborhood. If they don't do anything, the problem's going to consist and it's going to get worse. There's not enough volunteers in the world to fix this problem. It's individuals that are having the problems in your neighborhood that are learning and educating themselves how to do TNR and taking the initiative to fix the problem.
It's incredible how many people actually do participate in this. After working with you for the last several months, Dawn, I've seen hundreds of people. I guess some people call them crazy cat people, but some people are just really concerned citizens that don't like to see these animals out on the streets because they're not just living in colonies and being a nuisance. They're actually, their health is at stake, right?
That's correct.
Do those cats spread infectious disease and then they become a risk for, like, maybe spreading parasites to children in the neighborhood or?
No, there isn't the infectious disease or anything going on with feral cats. You just basically want to keep them, a healthy colony is a good colony. And with that, you know, if you go into a colony that has sick or ill cats, what we would do is we would test the cats for feline leukemia and FIV. It's called a snap test. We would snap test the cat. If the cat was very sick,
great. Didn't have a good chance for recovery, perhaps?
Exactly. If it didn't have a good chance for recovery, you would humanely euthanize the animal, in which case bringing down the number in the colony. All healthy cats are returned and maintained with a feeder. Once people set up, this is the other point that I'd like to bring up. People always blame other people because they're feeding the animals. Feral cats, whether they're being fed or not, are still in your neighborhood and they're still surviving. They would just be going through your garbage cans if they weren't eating. They would still be there. In fact, cats that are not maintained strive at a larger number. They reproduce more, okay, when they're not being maintained for some reason. They have more litters. So people blame the people that are feeding the cats when actually feeding the cats makes it easier to trap them, spay, neuter them, and return them. They have a normal routine. When I go into a situation where there isn't a feeder, it's very hard to trap the cats because there's no reason or rhyme to what their day is like. I know if I go into Grandma Smith's neighborhood and she's a feeder, I will walk up to the door, introduce myself, and find out the times that she feeds. And that's when I'll set out the traps. And because the animals trust her, it makes it very easy to get the colony under control. So feeding is a very important part of TNR.
So when you trap in a neighborhood, do you recommend somebody actually continue to feed them or ignore them?
Yes. Now, we recommend feeding, and once we get the colony trapped, neutered, we alert them to if somebody new shows up without an ear tip that they put out the trap and they trap that cat.
Well, I really hate to stop this, but that's all the time we have with you right now. But I just want to emphasize that there's over 60 million feral cats in the United States, and that's not even a definite number. And so what you're doing, Dawn, and what your friends in the community and everybody who's helping with this trap, neuter, return program are really need to be commended. And thank you so much for this incredible information and great education, and especially for all you do for the animals in our community. You really are an angel. When we return, we'll be speaking with Mr. Robert Masseri, the president of Rescue Inc., the man behind the inked-up burly motorcycle animal rescuers with big muscles and even bigger hearts. An interview you won't want to miss right after these messages.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
We're back, and we're so glad you're with us. We have with us today Mr. Robert Masseri, the co-founder of Rescue Inc. The Rescue Inc. pack has done lots of really incredible stuff, and if you haven't heard of them, you really ought to go to their website, Rescue Inc., that's rescueink.org, to learn about them, because it'll really make you understand this interview a lot more. And just as we would expect, Robert's on the run today, and so we have him on his cell phone, and thanks for catching up with us, Robert. And what are you doing right now?
Right now, Diane, I'm assessing a cat colony in Queens, where one of the feeders found a cat this morning in a cage, a trap that is not hers. So we don't know who actually put the trap there. The cat was in the trap. We suspect that a neighbor who has been arguing with this woman, this feeder, is trapping, and we don't know what she's doing. So I'm here now trying to get some information from some other neighbors, if anyone's seen the person that put this trap down.
There's never a dull moment with Rescue Inc. Robert, we were just talking with Ms. Dawn Riley, who's the head of the Long Island Animal Alliance, and we were learning all about trap-neuter release, so that's really appropriate for the rest of this program. But can you tell us, what is Rescue Inc.?
Rescue Inc. has evolved into a very strong rescue group that takes a different approach, basically an in-your-face approach. And I think we spend more time working with the abuser than anyone else, and because we know the value of taking a dog from somebody and placing him in a better environment, but we do know the value of that situation will continue. The abuser will continue to get pets and teach his family and children how to abuse. We work with the abuser, and we try to reason with them in many cases to teach them the life of treating an animal, how appropriate it is, and the value of that, and they can teach that to their children. We also go into places where most people don't want to go into. We expose pit bull fighting, and we, of course, teach kids in inner cities, in urban areas, in low-income areas, the value of dog ownership.
And I'm assuming that you talk about cat ownership as well.
Absolutely. It's a big part of it.
So when you say an in-your-face approach, I believe that's what you said. Maybe it was, what does that mean, an in-your-face approach?
Well, for example, today, if we find the person who took this, who put this trap down, we will confront them. We're not going to allow them to do it. Property that's likely not owned by the person who's trapping, so it's illegal for them to do that. But we're not going to let up. We're not going to allow that to happen. We're not going to allow someone to take a trap, place it on this, in this colony, and then take this cap 20 miles and drop them off someplace. We will not stand by and let it happen. So we will do everything in our powers within the realm of the law to make sure it doesn't happen.
So do you think that cat was dropped there because wherever it had been dropped previously, they didn't want it returned to their area?
No, what's happening, what I'm starting to see a lot now is people are clearing local shelters and they are borrowing traps. And they are trapping themselves. This is on the abuse side now. They are trapping these cats because they feel they're a nuisance. They are putting the traps on either their property or close to a colony. And then they're taking that trap and with the cat in it. And we're not sure in many cases what they do. We certainly know that they take the cat from many, many miles away and drop the cat so they feel that they're getting rid of the population.
Okay. They're hoping that somebody else will pay for the neuter and return it somewhere where they won't be bothered by it anymore. We were talking about that earlier with Dawn, wondering, you know, what if people don't want the cats returned to their area? That's probably why this is happening?
Well, this is what, when you have two scenarios. You have somebody who doesn't want cats in their area, and you have somebody who's doing everything to make that, try to prevent the growth of the cats. For instance, the woman who feeds this colony is very responsible. She's very involved with TNR, and this is a perfect example where you don't have growth population.
So let's explain to our listeners, maybe because we're on the radio and some of them may not be familiar with Rescue Inc., can you describe the physical characteristics of this group of guys?
Well, 6 foot.
Now be nice, because they might be listening.
And lots of tattoos. 6 foot, 300 pounds, and lots of tattoo makes up the bulk of the group.
Yeah, they're very, very colorful, to say the least. So I really urge our listeners to, if you haven't seen them or heard of them in People Magazine or on the Ellen DeGeneres Show or lots of other really exciting news stories, they've really done a lot of fabulous things for the communities, and you can definitely see them on rescueinc.org just to have a good idea of the colorful nature of these guys. They're very intimidating. And so even though they look scary, but they don't actually use physical violence or anything to accomplish any of their goals, do they, Robert?
No, we never do. We always stay within the law, always.
Right. So they're setting a great example, but they sort of have that intimidation factor, right?
I think that's a big factor for many people, but I think that applies to when we knock on a door, we're not there to cause a problem, although I'm sure everyone's ready for one if it happens. That's what gets people listening to us, the size of the group, and we really don't want to say no. If we knock on a door and if we feel that somebody is trying to hurt a cat in the neighborhood, we knock on the door and we try to resolve it. We don't threaten. We talk to them about the situation and we try to resolve the situation. A cat is on someone's property. A woman left a apartment complex, and she hates the fact that the cat is now living at her doorstep. The woman who lived there was evicted, did not take the cat, and now we're trying to trap the cat to get the cat out of that environment. The next step, who knows what she may do to this cat?
Right.
So, you know, but what we do is we don't stop until we find a solution. And the solution in this case, it would be to trap this cat. And because it was an indoor-outdoor cat, it's not feral, we're going to take this cat and we're going to get this cat adopted. Right now, we need to get this cat out of harm's way because she thinks that she still lives at that house and her owner no longer lives there. The people who live there now are not cat-friendly.
I see. So I could tell you that if these guys came to my door, 6 feet, 300 pounds, with all the tattoos and names like Batso and Big Ant and Joe Pants, and just to name a few, I think I would definitely be intimidated at least to listening to them and getting an idea of what's going on. And maybe I would change my attitude a little bit. Do most people respond to that?
Yes. The guys in the group are very street smart. And they really know how to talk to people. And, you know, they understand the value of their size and their knowledge. And when they leave, I would have to say well over 90% of the time, the person that they've negotiated with sees a different side of it, and ultimately an animal is either better placed in a better place or in a safer place.
That's so good. And it's just that cliche of the big scary guy with the cute little cat. I love that image. But it really is true. I mean, but these guys aren't rescuing 24/7. They must have real lives. I mean, what do they do? Are they all friends from before? How did they get together, and what did they do before they were Rescue Inc.?
Well, everybody did something independently before many knew what the true value of rescue. Everyone always had pets and of course, would help out and do little rescue when they find, but nothing of this caliber. And as a group, we all came together. Knowing how strong you are in numbers, and it's grew out beyond what we could ever imagine, and it's become a full-time gig for everybody. I mean, everybody is doing this full-time, and yes, everyone does have something on the side, but this has definitely dominated everyone's life, no question about it, in a great way.
Yeah, so it's really changed everybody's life, almost like they fell into it, and now they don't have real jobs anymore?
Well, you know, some guys are retired. For instance, Angel is a retired New York City detective, so he has a pension. So you have a lot of bachelor's 75 years old, he has a pension.
He's so cute.
You know, he is cute.
He's the sweetest
you have
guy.
Some guys that work maybe 2 or 3 days a week, and they'll work, you know, either late hours or early hours, but there's always somebody 24/7 on call to do something.
That's great, and I've been fortunate enough to work with you guys. I know recently they rescued a colony of cats that were in somebody's household that was somebody that was a hoarder, somebody who sort of collects cats inside their home. Can you tell us about that?
A woman out in Suffolk County obviously was not doing any kind of spay and neuter in her home, and the population grew to over 180 cats. We were called in. And we started taking the cats out, and then they started going directly to you, Diane.
And yeah, that was totally by coincidence.
We were very grateful to have you.
Thank you. I was doing spays and neuters for a nonprofit organization in a parking lot and a trailer in a parking lot with no bathroom, so that means no coffee in the morning. But I walked in one day, and there they were, these big burly guys. I said, okay, I'll spay them. Don't worry. But what a great thing, 180 cats that you guys rescued. And now what will happen to those cats?
Well, they're now up for adoption. We still have some remaining in the home, but we've changed the whole procedure at that house. And the family is working with us. I'm sure you know how complicated it is these times to get 180 cats adopted. But we are aggressively, we're going to be holding a... adoption event in the first week of March, and we have been successful. We've gotten, I'm not sure the number yet, but we've gotten quite a few adopted. We do have a strict adoption policy, but it's a good one. And we're going to continue to pull the cats out. We'll be continuing to see them, and hopefully in the middle of, April, May, we'll have all of them adopted.
Oh, that's amazing. And that's just one of the many things that Rescue Inc. has done. I know they don't just work with feral cats and TNR. They work a lot with pit bull fighting. And one of them, Angel, was telling me recently that he was concerned about rooster fighting, cock fighting, and that he was going to get involved in hopefully saving some of the roosters from being fighting roosters. So what do you think is one of the biggest accomplishments that Rescue Inc. has done so far?
Well, I get that question asked to me a lot, and I think every guy individually has their own moment, have their personal experiences, so it's very difficult. We've been involved with so many different things to put our finger on just one is impossible.
Can you give us a few examples?
Just recently, there was a dog that, and I mean just recently, like Sunday, there was a dog that was in Kentucky. We believe he was stolen because of his demeanor. He was someone's pet. a skinny little thing, pit bull, and he was obviously used as a bait dog. And after he was all chewed up and clearly abused, someone just threw him out in the woods. And he was, you know, just, it was horrible, terrible sight. And he was in Kentucky, and we did not want him to be put in a shelter and put down, because he would have been immediately put down. So with the help of another organization, ARF, which flies animals across the country, Joe Panzarella and G went out and brought him back. And he's such a great dog that we decided that he's going to stay forever at Rescue Inc. and he's going to become our mascot. But this dog was someone's pet, no question in my mind. And he had such a terrible short life as a bait dog. And to have him put down after he went through that was just not sitting right with us. Although it was Kentucky and we have our own issues here, it came to our attention and we needed to do something. So this is the kind of stuff it's hard to really say. That's one of them that, you know, that we just said that we just did, and, you know, it's very rewarding. But there's so many, Diane, so many.
And that's the beauty of it. I mean, just from that example, people from all over the country are reaching out to Rescue Inc. from the example that they're setting for help and ways to help animals all over the country. Being in People magazine and being on Ellen DeGeneres and being on lots of different television programs has given them a lot of attention and given them the ability to set this fantastic example and be a resource for people. Perhaps they'll teach people in the future. What are the plans for Rescue Inc. in the future?
Well, it's hard to say. We would all love to be, we would all love to be in other states. But right now, our immediate goals is to truly educate. We're going to be hopefully in a large part of the school systems here in New York, doing a lot of educational programming and mentoring, after-school projects, talking to kids, getting the Boy Scouts involved, and building cat shelters and dog houses, getting the communities involved. And, of course, the ultimate goal is just make it a social taboo for the whole country. That dog abuse, cat abuse, animal abuse in general is just not cool. And it's a social taboo like many other things. And, you know, we have our hands full. We have a lot cut out for us. We take it day by day. We'd like to change the world tomorrow. We know it's not realistic. But every day we do see a change. We get people calling us from different parts of the country, even different parts of the world, and say, hey, you know what, I'm 6'2", and I've been an animal lover my whole life, but I never thought I'd go out and go to a local shelter after reading you guys in some particular magazine or seeing you guys on TV. I go to my local kill shelter and walk a dog 2 hours a day to get him out of there. Or I started working with my local SPCA. Stepping up, they're really doing things for the first time they wouldn't have done.
What a great thing you guys are doing. And I recently had the opportunity to attend an event where these guys were, and it was amazing the number of people that really swarmed and were just so excited to see them and to congratulate them and to thank them for all their hard work. And once again, if you don't know who we're talking about, you really need to see them. I know this is a radio program, and if we haven't illustrated it enough, think about a 75-year-old man with no hair but a head covered with tattoos and a big, big friendly smile. But if you saw him in a dark alley, you might be really scared. Go on their website, Rescue Inc., rescueink.org. That's ink for tattoos. Get it? Some people don't. And just realize what amazing stuff that these guys do. And when you see what they look like, you can really appreciate it. Robert, you don't look like them. How do you fit in?
I don't. I don't look like them. My belly's getting bigger, so that's a good thing, I guess. I fit in many different ways. I play a lot of behind-the-scene roles. We have other guys in the group, like Bruce, who play behind-the-scene roles. And, you know, it takes a lot. The guys are out there. They're out there countless hours. There's back-end and front-end support, and I play a large role in the back-end of things.
Are the stories that Rescue Inc. Accomplish, are they on your website?
We haven't posted them. Our websites, we feel a little outdated, and we're looking to update our website with a lot of informative information, and hopefully the next month or so we will have a much newer, updated site.
Okay, so now it's February. So in March and April of 2009, everybody should be checking rescueinc.org. Check it out now to see their pictures. I'm not on there, though. Maybe someday.
Well, we'll get you up there. We would love to have you up there.
I'm just really, really excited to know you all and to have the opportunity to work with you and to see how people with a common goal, the least you would expect it, could come together and accomplish this. Now, a lot of people out there are a little cynical about the group and say, well, they're just a big gimmick. And it's really, you know, it's not fair that people work so hard to get all this attention. And how come these guys get the attention? Why do you think? What is your comment to that?
Well, I encourage anyone to spend a day with us and go into the trenches with the guys. Spend half a day and see what it's like and see what your comment is after that. We've had many, many articles have been written about us. And in every case, any of the big ones, such as the New York Times, the actual reporters traveled with the men several days. Many times they were frightened. They were scared. Sometimes they didn't want to come back. We had reporters with cameras clear up when they went into homes with cats that we were pulling out because they couldn't take the smell. So for anyone to say that, they just don't get it, obviously. But you know what? Many people are welcome to come with us for a day, spend a day, and see what it's like.
It is quite remarkable. I have had the opportunity to spend time with them. And I just want to say for those people, you know, I want to be in showbiz, and everybody wants to have something. And we all work hard for what we do, and sometimes you just are in the right place at the right time. But these guys maybe were in the right place at the right time, but they really are doing tremendous work out there. And I'm really proud to know them and to know you, Robert. And I want to thank you so much for everything that Rescue Inc. does. I really want to encourage everybody not only to go to Rescue Inc.'s website, but maybe even to donate to them. They are not funded. They will be a non-for-profit very shortly. And they do need your help. Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, we are pending status not-for-profit, so you can donate. And we do need help. We do definitely need financial support. We're always looking for new volunteers. And somebody like yourself who stepped up and said, hey, you know what, I'm here for you. It's tremendous for an organization like ours. To have a vet on call like yourself is phenomenal. It's something that we really needed. We're very grateful for it. And an organization like us cannot survive without having somebody like call at 2 o'clock in the morning and leave your home to come and help us with an animal. That's very big for us.
Well, it's all part of a really important team. Well, we're out of time right now, but I really want to thank you and Ms. Riley for being our guests today. And I really have to thank you both for all the amazing work that we do. And we also have to thank Mark, our very patient producer, for making this show possible. To learn more about Rescue Inc., please see that rescueinc.org website. If you'd like transcripts of this show or any other show on Pet Life Radio Network, just go to petliferadio.com and click on The Pet Doctor. Also, if you have any questions or comments or ideas for the show, please email me at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. It's been my pleasure to guest host The Pet Doctor, and I hope you guys hear from me again soon. Until next time.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.